Thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I love Brother Ted. Ted is so funny when you go visit him, talk to him. He said he's going to be as strong as Miss Edna. He talks about Miss Edna every time I go see him, and he said he's going to be strong as she is. So see, you're an inspiration. Amen. Miss Edna is what, 35, 36 years old? Yeah. And thank God for our seniors. Amen. God is good. God is moving. I want to put in your calendar, if you will, Friday night at 7 o'clock. If it's not a good time, email me. But we need to have a follow-up meeting. We had a meeting a couple months ago concerning our gifts, and we gave each one of you a sheet to fill out and to look at. And I've been praying for the right time for us to get together. A lot going on, a lot of people here and there, and shift A, shift B, shift C. He's going in and out, and we're trying to get everybody together. But if it's not a good time, email me. But Friday night, 7 o'clock, if you can meet here in the fellowship hall, we'll have us a meeting and a follow-up meeting on that. And I'll tell you the reason why. The Lord's been dealing me on a theme for next month. I am uniquely me. The key word for the month of June is unique. Turn to the woman beside him and say, I am uniquely me. Amen. I am uniquely me. And I understand now, because I've been wanting to get together on this meeting, and now I understand it kind of all comes together, because we're dealing with spiritual gifts. We're dealing with what we've been made for. God doesn't make junk. Amen. You are not junk. You're very valuable. As James alluded to earlier, he gave his only son. What value? What, you can't put a value on that. That is innumerable of what your value is. And with that, when he created you, there was a reason. He said, I need this person here at this time, in this stage. And sometimes we read the Bible and we say, well, I wish I could have lived in the days of Jesus, and I wish I could have lived in the days of Paul, and I wish I could have lived, and all that may be true, but we are here now, and we're alive now for a reason. And if we don't know our reason, if we don't know our purpose, then we're going to miss out. So keep that in mind. If it's not a good time, email me, we'll work out a time. But unique. I am uniquely me. And as we begin to transform who we are, not trying to be, you know, there's a lot of imitators today. How many of you know imitation is not the real thing? Nobody can imitate you. They may can try to sound like you, try to look like you, but nobody has your fingerprints. Nobody has what you have. You are uniquely you. I want us to go to the book of Galatians today. I take very seriously. I know that when God opened this door of opportunity for me to be here, this assignment, and that's, I've been ministering now for over 40 years, and so I understand that it's an assignment, that God has a purpose in my life, and I'm still finding that purpose. About 3 weeks ago, the Lord really began to deal with me about Northview and about the situations at hand, and I take very seriously this opportunity to speak to you, and I want to make sure that your time is valuable and that you don't waste 30 minutes or 40 minutes or ever how long it is, that you receive a word from God, that you hear something that will minister to your spirit and help you through the rest of the week. That's how critical this time is. And God began to deal with me about control. I want to talk about this morning the battle of control, and as it begins to unveil to you, I want you to understand there are three things. I don't normally give like 3-point messages or anything like that. Some of y'all wonder if I ever have a point, but I don't really do that a lot. But this particular time, the Lord about 3 weeks ago began to stir in my spirit, and I began to see things, and I began to feel things. Last night, I don't tell my wife a lot about what's going on because it probably scared her to death, but I woke up, the Lord woke me up out of a dead sleep, and I woke up and I walked into the living room, and there was a shadow of a guard. I feel the anointing right now. There was a shadow of a guard. You know, in the Romans, you know, had their guard, they had their helmets and all, and it was sort of like that shadow on the wall. And I looked around and I thought, you know, I thought I was just getting a glass of water, and I looked around and I saw, and the Lord says, I am in control. It may not appear that way, but I am setting place, people in place. How many of you know He's an awesome God? Our God is an awesome God. You know that song. I ain't gonna mess it up, but you know. He is an awesome God. And when you're asleep or when you are away, He's not. He's on guard. He sets angels in corners. When your child goes to school every day and you sit there and you wonder, don't worry about it. He's walking with them in the hallways. He goes before us. How many of you know that? There's a battle of control, and it's important that we understand. It's important that I don't take this opportunity nonchalant, because I am a voice in this last day. I'm only one voice, but I'm a voice. And it's important that we understand when we have an opportunity, a platform, to say anything for God, we understand that we are in the last days. I believe the Bible. I believe. I'm old-fashioned. I know that. I do believe from Genesis to Revelation, and I do believe everything in that book. I believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. He anointed men to write down words. I believe that. And I believe when He wrote this, He wrote it for us to encourage us and strengthen us and give us guidelines of how to live in this last day. I'm learning more and more. My life is not my own. It belongs to Him. God began to show me some things, that there's a major battle in the spirit world of control. It did not start last week. It started in the heart of Satan when he was in heaven as a worship leader and says, I am just as good as God. As a matter of fact, I am God. And you know the story. He was cast out of heaven, and a third of the angels went with him. Immediately, we are more than conquerors, because a third of the angels went with him. So for every one demon, there's two angels. Amen? So he is outnumbered anyway. But a battle began. It's a very serious battle. I don't know if I can get all this out, because there's something going on inside of me. But 3 weeks ago, God began to say, you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And we're so guilty in pulpits today of just mimicking and just saying things because everybody else says it. And we just do it because everybody else does it. And I'm going to tell you, don't ever take the enemy lightly. Don't ever take him as dumb old Satan, because he is anything but dumb. He is majorly intelligent, and you will not win against him with your intelligence. It must take a power that is greater than you. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God. So there's a spirit today of Antichrist. We've heard that talk. We've heard about the Antichrist. And I want you to understand, there's a spirit of Antichrist today. Antichrist. Antichrist. Which means anything that God has, the enemy will always try to counterfeit it. How many of you know that? You know how they tell me that you learn counterfeit money? When they're dealing with people who learn how to deal with counterfeits, you know what they say? I would think that you would learn how to counterfeit money, or how to, that's not it. You learn the real thing. You learn the real deal. And when you know the real deal, then you can immediately detect that's not real. You know, when you go to the store and you give them a $20 bill and they start hacking it with all the way they do things. You know, that's really important when you're in a hurry and they're just, it's real, just take it. Amen? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? But that's the reason they do it, because there's so much counterfeit today. One of the weapons that we've got to understand as we declare who we are is that there is a counterfeit out there. There's a spirit of Antichrist, and you got to get this. This is not a message. This is not a sermon. This is a word from God. I feel it very important. I don't have a lot of time. But one thing that I take very seriously in my time is the time that I stand before you. I may not have time to do a lot of things, but I will not come in here unprepared and not have something that God has for you. No matter what hours I have to lose, whatever I have to do, it's important to me to give to you what he has to say. He began to speak to me and I began to write. Sometimes he speaks, and some of you that know what I'm talking about, James probably understands, when he begins to speak, you just sometimes can't keep up. But it's critical. How many of you know when God speaks, it's critical? How many of you know that when he's really talking to you, everything else needs to cease? So he began to speak to me. There's a reason why Northview is still here. There's a reason why you're still on this property that you've been here for, getting ready to celebrate 50 years of ministry. There's a reason for that. The spirit of Antichrist is a counterfeit Christianity, and here's the deal. To replace power with performance. You got to get that. You got to get that. If you don't get that, you're not going to get the rest of it. Counterfeit Christianity replaces power. You see, we need power. How many of you know we need power? Jesus is all power. How many of you have ever been through situations where words won't work, doctors won't work, this won't work? You need a touch of God on your life. Doctors, psychologists, it won't work, but for him to lay his hand on you. The woman with the issue of blood said, I've been through all that. I need power. I need something that is greater. How many of you believe in a supernatural power? Antichrist wants to replace power. And as I look around, he's doing a pretty good job of that. Because performance. Here's the problem with performance. And God began to share all this with me. Satan knows performance. But performance is empty. The anointing of God should be so real in this place that you cannot leave the same way you came. There is a power in the name. Listen. When you lay your hands on the sick and they recover. When Jesus interrupted that funeral procession and raised that boy up. How many of you know that was power? How many of you know when the withered hand person, he said, stretch out your hand, and God performed a miracle. And it was healed in the name of Jesus. But the enemy has slid in. And as long as you perform. Let me stand on my own soapbox for just a minute. You go around, you see all these churches, and they got worship service, worship service, worship service. And I'm all about where I love worship. I love worship. But worship is more than just songs. Do you understand that? It's more than just music. Because you can sing anything, but it's the heart. Because there's days I worship in my truck and there's no music. It's just me and dead silence in the middle of the morning. But he's with me. And that's worship. I want to put on the front of our sign, word service. Imagine that. Imagine what in the world is a word service? You know, it's all about, let me tell you, we need the power. I'm facing things in my family, and you may be facing things in your family that humanly possible, it seems impossible, but the word says with God all things are possible. I'm talking about a God who stood where there was nowhere to stand. How in the world do you power and spoke where there was nowhere to speak? How do you do that? Power and said, let there be. And because he spoke it, it came. That's one bad joker, boy. I mean, God is one bad man. I mean, that boy's bad.
He just spoke it. Performance. Get this. I wrote this down. Can you stay with me a few minutes this morning? All three of you, I appreciate it. Performance can be done without relationship. Performance can be done without relationship. We can go to church and we can do the motions and we can go through everything and not feel nothing. And nothing change. And the reason there's no change is because He's not there. Are you with me? One of the saddest scriptures in the Bible is when Samson, you remember the story of Samson, he was a mighty man of power. What made him powerful was not his physique, was the anointing on his life. But do you remember the scripture where it said, when he gave his soul to Delilah and he walked out, and the Bible said he went out as he went before and did not recognize the power was not with him. That's performance. Performance is coming into church and making sure you do everything just right. And you just go through the motions and you just do it all and you walk out the same way you came. Then I understand more what it says, that in the last days there'll be a great falling away. Listen, there'll be a great falling away. There will come a time when men will not endure sound doctrine. How many of you know that's in the Bible? Giving ears to itching ears. Tell me what I want to hear. Tell me how good I am so that I can go back out. Listen, the devil loves that all day long because you do not affect him when you are just performing. He's the great performer. Can you imagine that you were the anointed cherub, and you know angels have classification, and he was the highest of the class? Can you imagine the performance that he put on? But the whole time his heart was wicked. I serve a God. Now this is for somebody this morning. We serve a God that can change things. We serve a God that's just not in performance. And then God led me to Galatians. 3 weeks ago, I just started reading Galatians. Paul is a tremendous author, tremendous man of God. If anybody knew performance, Paul knew performance because he was the elite of performers. He was as knowledgeable as any man of his day. Gamaliel was one of the highest knowledgeable men in the world, and he was at the feet. In other words, he was his prized student. So he knew intellect. Knowledge is a tremendous thing. I love knowledge. I'm ever learning. I want to learn more and more and more. God is an awesome God, and you just will never learn all there is about Him, can you? Amen. So he knew performance. But on the road to Damascus, you remember that story on the road to Damascus, how God brought him down. And I want to tell you, anybody that comes against God is going to come down. Whew. Anybody that stands before him with an arrogant attitude is going to come down. Amen? So, are you with me? Wake that one up beside him and say, you need to hear this. So Paul is preaching. He's on the road to Damascus. He goes out and he starts ministering. You know, he had 3 missionary journeys. On his missionary journeys, he would have converts. Now, you got to understand that Jews at this time were dominating. Mosaic law dominated. Law and ritual dominated. Paganism, idolatry, all of that. And Paul comes in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and men's lives begin to change. Whew. How do you know God's not in a place? There's no change. That pretty simple? I like simple stuff. I rode the short bus to school. I like simple stuff. Amen. When there's there's no change, he's not there. But where he is, come see a man who told me everything that nobody knew, but he knew. I would have loved to have been in the days of Jesus, because you walk down the road and you see canes thrown to the side, and you see bandages thrown to the side where he just healed a leper or raised up the dead or whatever, because wherever he's at, there's change. When you flow with him, there's change in your life. Amen. How many of you can say, I'm not who I need to be? I got so much more that I need to do, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Amen. Performance. But as he ministered, people would get saved. And he had converts. And on this particular, in Acts chapter 16, verse 6, and Acts chapter 18, verse 28, he makes reference to Galatia, Phrygia and Galatia. And I think that's somewhere over there around Fremont, on the other side of Fremont, Mount Olive, somewhere in there. It's somewhere over there. But he makes reference to that. And these people were set free. There's another word you need to put in mind, is bondage. There's an enemy who wants to bond you and bind you up so that you will never be free. And performance only binds because you get so frustrated because you do the same thing day in and day out and nothing changes. Am I making sense this morning? But these people were free. Now, when things begin to get set free, understand this. You begin to break the chains of the enemy when you decide to do different and to be different and to be better. That's when the battle comes. And so what they begin to do is found in chapter 1 of Galatians. Paul, an apostle. Now, what's interesting about his writings, a lot of his writings are similar. And he will always start like in Romans chapter 1 verse 1. It says Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. And he declarates himself as he always begins with saying called of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ. In other words, he always points his finger to God and to say, this is why I am doing what I do. But in this letter, it's a little different. He does begin by saying an apostle, but he don't give the same salutations. And understand this now. He says, not of men. And it's almost with an attitude that Paul says this, because understand now, there's confusion. There's confusion among the people, his converts. They've gotten saved, they're free, but they're not saved like the church thinks they ought to be saved. They're not living like they say they ought to live. Well, if you're really saved, then you'll do this and you'll do that and you'll go through this ritual and you'll do that and you'll do all that. And evidently, you're not saved. And so there's confusion. And now his converts are confused. Number one. You just getting to point number one? It's almost 12 o'clock. Point number one. Can you stay with me for 5 more minutes? Manipulation. There's three strategies of control. Three strategies of control. Three things that will always come against you when it's trying to control you. And that is manipulation, intimidation, and condemnation. Manipulation, intimidation, and condemnation. That always comes. Paul begins his letter to the Galatian people who he loved, who he had been there many times. He established a church there. They knew him, but now his credibility is being attacked. And you know what they're saying? Paul's not even saved. Why? Because he don't do like we do. Now I'm understanding what God says, I am uniquely me. I am uniquely me. God made you unique, not to be like everybody else. Does that make sense? So they're saying, hey, this guy you've been following, he's not even real. And so now they're beginning to doubt Manipulation, here's the point. Manipulation always attacks truth. Manipulation always attacks truth. And so Paul feels that I need to affirm myself. And so in chapter 1, verse 1, look what he says. Not of men, neither by men. When you begin to follow God, men will always tell you how you need to live. Is that too strong for Sunday morning? Well, if you had your hair cut right and you wear the right kind of clothes, you don't dip and chew, you don't hang around with him that do. Oh, Lord, he done gone to meddling now. Harold, I knew he done gone to meddling. See what I'm saying? It's amazing to me that we are judged by what others say. If you're right, then you'll do this. And you know why? Because now they're not going to tell you the whole story, because there's things they do, but they don't want you to know that, and they don't do what you do, so it's okay. This is deep. This is deep. How many of you want to get to heaven? How many of y'all want to get to heaven? I don't want to get up there and say, you know what? You didn't do what I told you to do, and now all these are going their other way because you didn't tell them the truth. Paul says, I didn't get called by men. I'm not here by man. And he this is the only letter he kind of does this. He says here, he says, I want you to understand, I'm not manipulated by law. I'm not manipulated by man. Listen, in this day, they were judged by the law. I want to tell you this. Write this down. Anybody that judges you is not of God. Hold on just a minute, hold on just a minute. Ho. There is right and wrong, yes, yes. But who is the judge? When God tells you to quit doing something, don't you really want to do it more than if I tell you to quit doing something? So what we've done in churches and what they're trying to say here is, hey, you guys are not saved. You want to know why they're saying these people are not saved? Because if you get saved, you're going to get circumcised. Because if you get saved, you're going to do certain rituals, because that's just the way we do it. It's like the Hatfields and the McCoys. I was watching Andy Griffith one day, and I love Andy Griffith. I believe Andy Griffith's a god myself. I just love Andy Griffith. And the Hatfields and McCoys were fighting one day, and Andy, you know how he solves everything. He said, I'm going to get, and he went to Hatfields, he went to the McCoys. Why are you fighting? Because they're the Hatfields. Okay, but why? Because they're the Hatfields. And the point was, we just do what we do because that's just what we do. And I want to tell you, your relationship is not with a church, it's not with a man, it's not with a people, it's with God. And God will help you be what you need to be. This is why my ministry has always been uniquely different. Because I just can't do what everybody else does, because everybody else does it. I got to be me. Now, being me is not popular, because being me means you don't do what everybody wants you to do. And when you stop doing what everybody wants you to do, you're no longer popular. But you're free. Amen. So you got to make a decision. Do I want to be popular or do I want to be free? And so they were write this down. If you don't get nothing else, write this down. They were controlled by ritualism. They were controlled by ritualism. And I'm not going to be able to finish this, but I'll stop right here. I want to leave you with this. Ritualism. When God gave me this part, I just sat back and read it. Ritualism steals your mind. How many of you have ever driven somewhere, like going to work, for example? and you just go, you don't even think about it. How many of you ever been somewhere and got there and didn't know how you got, don't remember? You had to go through that place, but you know, it was just so normal. It was just second nature. You didn't think about it. Satan wants your relationship with God that same way, so that you just kind of go through the motions and nothing changes. God began to say the enemy has stolen the minds of people. We're going to get more into that with intimidation. But manipulation says you got to do it this way or you're not saved. You got to do it this way or you're not saved. And I always felt intimidated. Can I share a little personal? I didn't come from a religious background. I didn't come. I've been in the ministry over 40 years now, my mama got saved before she died, but I wasn't raised in church. So I didn't know all the books in the Bible, and I didn't know how to do all that stuff. And I was always manipulated to the point that I didn't feel like, because I couldn't quote all the Bible. I couldn't quote all them books, and I'd hear these preachers standing there and boy, they just roll it off. And I think, man, I don't never want to get in the pulpit again. Because I just don't know. You know what that was? Manipulation. And God said, I didn't call you to be like them. I called you to be you. Because when I created you, nothing, you know, you've heard these stories where somebody was aborted, but they still lived. You got to know that's a miracle, amen? You got to know that God wanted them here. You are here because God wants you here. He needs you here. Turn the woman side of you and say, God needs you. He needs you. He don't need me to be you. He needs you to be you. And when you start trying to get things right, everybody wants to tell you. You know what I used to love? I love my sister-in-law. Her and my wife just talk, and I just sit there and fall asleep, come back, and they still talk. Amen. But she used to tickle me when she was younger. I tell you one thing, if that was my youngin', I'd do this. If that was my youngin', I'd do that. Then she had youngins. You know, there's children, and then there's youngins. Amen? And it's so funny to me. I tell you right now, if I had to do it over again, it's funny. Because, you know, if you don't have one, you can tell everybody how to do it. Amen? And it's sort of like when we're trying to get our stuff right with God. Everybody's got a reason. Well, you know, God can't use you if you've been married and divorced. God can't use you if you'd smoke. God can't use you, but you're 400 pounds and you kill a buffet, but you smoke. You know, you just, oh, we ain't gonna talk about that. Amen. I get fat people mad at me when I preach like that. It's the truth. Well, I'll tell you what, your hair wouldn't be all long if God was in your life. That's because you ain't even got no hair. Amen. Come on. But the point is, I felt like I was nothing. And I grew up feeling that way. And I still battle that today. But I'm learning. I haven't got there yet, but I'm learning that God loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And though I'm weak, yet am I made strong through Him. He helps me every day. Paul, who wrote this, said, when I want to do good, I mess up. Paul said that. Paul was like ISIS. ISIS is a bad group, amen? You've heard the story, we know how to just kill people, cut their heads off. Paul, that's what Paul was. Do you think he had something to live with? Do you think when he wrote the scripture and said, this one thing I do, I got to forget the past, you think he had something to forget? Because he was ISIS. But when God came in his life, he learned, it's not what I do, it's what he does. Stay with me, church. There are thousands of people in Wayne County and all around us who are good people. They just have problems. And the church has been made to be like a place that don't have no problems. But we know that's not true, don't we? I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet today. And I want you to join the hands of one. We're going to stop right here. Now, I could go ahead and finish both of these points. Y'all want me to? I get it. Some of y'all was manipulated by the woman beside him. Don't you raise your hand. Father, we thank you for your word. God, this is your word. I need this word. Because somebody's always trying to form us and tell us that we're not good enough. Lord, when we pray, we may not have the right words to say or don't know exactly how to say or sometimes don't even know what to pray. And that spirit of manipulation comes around and says, well, if you can't do it the right way, then. But we know that's a lie because you love us and you're willing to help us. Lord, you don't want us to stay down. You want us to get up, but God, you're willing to help us get up. And Lord, I don't know. There may be someone here today that's battling with this. There's a reason why you have me preaching this. But God, we are uniquely who we are. We are unique. We are created with a divine design. And there's a reason. Nobody can be who we are. And God, I pray right now, if someone in this place has gone through a process of manipulation and they feel like that they don't measure up, I pray, God, that you'll cover them with your love right now. And let them know that you love them. No matter what their past, no matter what their problem, no matter what they're going through, you love them. And you're going to help them be better. Thank you, God, for Northview and the vision that they've had over these 50 years. And they're still standing. Others have come and gone, and others, the doors are shut, but they're still standing. They've been full, and they've been down to just a few people. But for those few that have stood and held on when it was seemingly impossible, thank you, God, for them and help bless them, I pray, beyond measure. Thank you, God, for what's ahead. Thank you, God, for what's coming. Thank you, God, for the broken lives that are going to come. And thank you, Lord, that the people here are going to help put those pieces back together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.